is children that are aware on how their everyday actions can have a positive or negative impact in the environment and what they can help. Mm-hmm. So after this first part of the program, that is these four visits where kids can get like a closer connection and exposure to these different social needs and problems, the idea is that they get these like important values here, that they become, I think, more grateful and more empathetic when they see other people suffering or people mm-hmm. in need. And then after this, the second part of the program is that the kids choose one organization they visited or a cause that they promote where they want to leave their mark on. And they brainstorm on different ideas on how to carry out their project. They start with a community project. This time I'm running my last program from this fall, and the kids, this group of 16 kids decided they want to do something to help animals in need and homeless people. Mm-hmm. So they are working on getting donations for these different organizations because they are helping different places. Mm-hmm. And they are all working on different projects here, like... Part of the idea of the program is that this project is based on their own ideas, effort, and work. So it's their kids' actions that is going to make them achieve something. And so they came out with ideas of making a drive at their school. Some others decided they wanted to go to a pet store and do a drive there to get donations. Mm-hmm. Some others are doing this with friends and family. But the amazing part of this, I think, is that kids really surprise us in the most impressive ways all the time. I think I couldn't think of teaching them anything that they are teaching me or what they are showing. And I have, for example, in this last group, I have a girl who is a third grader. She's 9 years old. She's so young. And before we came out to the last part of the program for the community project, the mom told me that after she visited the animals all the way back home, she was so... She had been so touched by this experience that she was really trying to look for ideas on how to help animals. And she came out with a beautiful poster that she did. And then the next day, she looked for her school principal that I think was amazing.
Wow.
And she told her principal that she wanted to do something for the animals at school, that if she would like to do a drive there. Of course, the school principal was very supportive, and she said, you know what, I would like to have you at the school assembly to show what you want to do to the students.
Wow.
I think this girl is achieving such an amazing thing for animals in need, but also I think on her, it's like it's something great. And then our other girls that are doing, they were calling the pet store and asking for authorization, but they are doing all these things on their own. They are 9-year-old girls or boys, 12-year-olds until 14. They're still very young to show us how amazing things they can do.
Yeah. So. No, and I think that's incredible. So, and I always tell my kids, lead by example. And you know, she didn't know she had this desire, and you opened it up in her, and then she took the initiative to go talk and present. So it's awakening, you know, because they're naturally empathetic. Kids are, you know, they, and then in adolescence, when you're struggling with who you are and who you want to be and what everybody's doing, but to have an example of just giving and growing and doing it, it also gives you a sense of accomplishment and comfort knowing you're helping. And then maybe you don't have to worry about all the other menial stuff going on in the cafeteria or whatever. I know it's hard. We've all been through it, but you know, it gives you a focus that's so meaningful. And I know, exactly. Dan, you're building that with families in Bernersville, and you, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, you're building a community of faith, but you're also giving them the tools that they need to function more, utilize all the resources available and let them know about it. So tell us how you're communicating that to this group.
Right. So I think one of the issues that we found out is that, you know, people need to be educated in different ways and have just life skills. And because a lot of the families work 2 or 3 jobs, they don't have the option to do that. And so one of the things that we started doing is doing workshops and seminars. And the first one that we had was about first-time home buyers. And so we partnered with a realtor in Baskin Ridge, and he brought 5 bilingual agents and and officers, bank officers, to do the talk. And so we had about 35, 40 people, and just the practical ways how to start saving money and the steps that they need to buy a house. And so, you know, a lot of people came out of that with hope, saying, you know, I can do this if I follow the steps that I need to. And it's something that they didn't have before, and now they have it. And so those are some of the things that we're trying to do. And then another workshop that we're trying to do is finances and just how to do a budget or how to save, because, again, it's not that they don't want to do it. They want to, but they don't have the resources or just the knowledge to know how to do it. And so that's one of the things how we can provide it. And we partner with the library, so we do it at the Burnettville Library in order to everybody to be central and come to where we are. So that's how we're trying to help the community.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the Burnettville Library has a pretty active ESL program, I believe, right?
Yes, they do. And a few families from our community go there. And they do a great job, but unfortunately, I don't think they have enough volunteers.
Volunteers, and, hello. I know. If you're out there, we need volunteers.
And so, yeah, and that's the other thing that I was trying to help them too, because I know RVCC, Raritan Valley Community College, they have an ESL program. And so I helped one of the young people in our community to sign up, and he started taking ESL courses at the RVCC.
Okay, good.
So because he's a little bit more experienced.
Yeah, yeah. No, so. That's incredible. Well, and you touch upon basic points that most Americans don't save, don't know how to buy a house, don't know how to navigate some of that, because people just avoid any kind of financial preparedness because it's they feel like it's so hard to figure out. And if you've got a language barrier, that makes it 10 times yeah. harder to figure out. So it's nice that you're providing a service, baby steps, and getting the experts in there to the workshops. It's a perfect idea.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. So Karen, I want to, since your mom's here today, so she's the videographer today, I always talk about how I was raised in a family that values volunteering. And so I don't know, maybe you can talk about what the culture is like on giving in Mexico City, but also within your own family. And is that, did some of that spark what you started to do for these kids here?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I grew up in going to Catholic schools in Mexico City, and they very much promote like volunteering and giving back. But it was also, I mean, this I love this part, but I think the way they did it, it was mainly, sometimes we did it because we had to. It was not that we found a more meaningful way of doing that. That's why also I was like trying to do something different in that part, but it definitely ignites something on you. And also my mom that is here, I mean, even when she was not like volunteering like we do now, but she was also very considerate about people suffering. And I remember she had a cousin. I was trying to think what brought me here. My mom had a cousin that had an accident, a terrible accident, that he couldn't walk anymore. So he would lay on a bed all his life, and he had 3 children, and they struggled so, so, so badly. So my mom would take me, and I always wonder why just me, because we are four children at home. And it was just me that, please come with me and let's bring them some food and bring them some presents and just bring them company. And so when I used to go there, it was really touching for me, that experience. It was hard to see them. And I think that is what it put this seed on me about helping people in need. I think that's why.
Yeah, because you felt good, right?
Yes, it feels so good when you are doing something for others that I think the main benefit is for sure on us.
Oh, I know. I mean, I say that I'm addicted, and people are like, oh, you do so much. I'm like, really? I'm totally selfish. I just get that high, and I just need more.
Exactly.
I know, and especially kids, because they're just so unassuming. And we have the interfaith. Our church is part of the interfaith community, and they have homeless families come stay for a couple weeks during the summer. And so I always took my kids to be the after meal kind of play time where they just hang out. And I remember my son, he was probably like 9 or 10, and they're all playing. And then, like, I didn't overly explain what we were doing. I just said, hey, we're going to go hang out with these families or whatever. And I think he heard the word homeless or whatever at some point. And they're playing, and then he's like, well, who's homeless here? Like, he was like, he's just like, you're just a normal kid. Like, you know, but it was just like, I'm just a kid, and we're playing ball, and we're hanging out. And, you know, it's just, it's, I just thought it was just sweet that, you know, it's like, we're all the same. We're all humans. We're just hanging out and helping one another. So, yeah, I thought just these stories are great. So, well, and being that we're in the holiday season when Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And well, and we've got Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. We're right in the middle of Hanukkah too, as well. So, but how important do you think faith is in building a community and helping children and things like that?
Yeah, no, I think it is very important. I think the values that God puts in us, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty much what drives coming out of the faith and the church plants that we're trying to do. It's try to find a need in the community and do something about it. And I think that's kind of like the takeaway that I want from this conversation, that, you know, I love the people can serve in other countries and go overseas, and that's great. But there's also need in our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And if you turn around, look to your left or right, and you will find a need. And so what can you do about that? And so I think God puts that in us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love even our enemies, right? And so I think faith is very important in all the things that we do, especially as we try to love others. Because, I mean, to me, it wasn't always that I wanted to do this because I had a bad experience years ago. But the more I did it, the more I started connecting with families in the community, the more that I learned to love them as my neighbors. And so I think I learned so much from them, not just trying to help them, but learn their generosity and how welcoming they are every time I show up. And so just try to find a need in your community and let God lead you to how you can help them. You know, that's I would say.
Yeah, well, basically, just get off your phone and look around.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, because there's more and more books and documentation coming out about how the screens consume us and consume the kids. And you know, I would have never met my husband because we met on the Port Authority bus. And if we would have been both, you know, that was before cell phones, but I was like, we were looking up, looking around. And, you know, I leave my phone on the counter in my purse for hours on end, which my kids are upset. They're like, oh, you need to pick me up. And I'm like, what? No, but, you know, just put the screen away and just engage in people. And I talked to my dad and he said, oh, I was, you know, he was waiting for his, medical appointment, and he said everyone in the whole waiting room was just glued to their phones. No one was looking around, and you know, and it's just we miss something when you're not engaging in community wherever you are, standing in line at the grocery store, or just look around, and you'll, it's not hard to find a need, like you said, in your community. Look right, look left. Just open your eyes, be attentive, and like I said, I'm so addicted. I do both. I do local. I do global. I have time to do that, but anybody else, it just takes what appeals to you. Do you want to write a check? Do you want to get involved? Do you want to get involved in your church or your community or service work? I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah.
And Karen, so you've got 5 or 6 areas of focus that you let the kids kind of, you expose them to. And you want to talk a little bit about each one?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the first one is a food pantry. So the kids are exposed to hunger and poverty. The idea here is that the kids learn about that there are many families in our communities that are struggling to bring food to their homes. And to learn about the great job of these organizations to help families in need. And so also they realize that there are many ways they can help, and it doesn't matter your age, you can do something for everybody. All the visits are educational, interactive, and hands-on. So this is like the first area that they visit. They also go to an animal shelter, and here the kids learn about and have a direct contact with animals that are suffering. They are sick animals, and they learn on how the animal shelters are rescuing all these animals, but also there are many, many more animals in need than the ones we can support. So mm-hmm. there's always so much need for help and volunteers and goods and everything. I think this is one very special visit for the children, because children love animals and they mm-hmm. have this connection with them. And I've read it's very important for to instill like animal care in children, and it reduces violence also for future relationships. So it's very important to have this visit as well. Then we do. We also go with the seniors. We go to the senior living housing. And here, the kids, I tell the kids that they can volunteer and help others while they are having fun, too. So I ask them, if you have any passion or talent, you can share that with them. So we have many kids that love baking, so they bring sweet treats, and others love acting and singing, and they prepare a talent show for the seniors that they love. And some others have been doing magic tricks or playing the piano, many different things that they share with them. And I think this visit is like a win-win situation for both parts, because for sure seniors get a lot of joy and smiles, and the children brighten their days. But also, I think the seniors have a great wisdom they can share with the children. And when you see them together, because they also bring like their favorite board games and organize a bingo with prizes and everything, it's great to see how they are sitting together and having so much fun and talking to each other, and they really enjoy this time. And I think it's a great experience for both of them. Mm-hmm. And I also tell the children, seniors start feeling lonely and mm-hmm. depressed many times, and they start facing health problems, that it is great for them to have some company. Mm-hmm. So even each visit that the kids are doing is already like leaving a mark on different people, and vulnerable people.
Right, because it gets you outside of yourself and distracted, exactly. and you're not thinking about your pain or your problems or whatever. Exactly. You're interacting and focusing, and then it also sparks healing, I would imagine, right? Uh-huh. Oh, that's incredible. And then you're doing a couple more.
And yes, the environmental education. So they go to an environmental center, and they learn about taking care of the environment, but they also do a hands-on activity. Last time they were planting a tree and some, like, food and everything, so they love working. They were so excited about working and living, like having an impact in that place. So when mm-hmm. they come back in a few months, they will see the result of what they just did, but they are still learning about, you know, different social problems. And for this last time, for this last program that I'm still running, I added two optional visits. I wanted for the children to get more human interaction and connection, so I added a visit to Gigi's Playhouse. It's a nonprofit organization that provides educational and physical therapy to children with Down syndrome. So I think this visit has been one of the more meaningful for the children and for me also, because what you see there, the families struggling with a child with special needs, mm-hmm. and it's really like very meaningful. Mm-hmm. There was this lady there that she had three kids. The youngest had Down syndrome, but he also had very strong respiratory problems. Mm-hmm. And this mom had three children, and she was a single mom. She needed to take care of her three kids, so she didn't want to sacrifice the time with her kids. And she decided she would sacrifice her own time to sleep. So she works from 2 a.m. Wow. until 3 p.m. to be able to spend the time with her children. So, and then the last visit I added is with homeless families. So our group of kids would serve lunch or dinner to homeless families.
That's nice.
And implies work, and this also seeing families facing a different situation than ours.
Right, and for the club that you have kids sign up, I found out about it through the Friday Folder. And so it's primarily, it's Basking Ridge and Long Hill Township kids, anybody can join, right? It's just
anybody can join. I basically promoted through the Friday Folders from Basking Ridge and Long Hill. Next year, I'm planning to start it in Short Hills. We used to live there, and I have some friends interested in starting one there. So I might be starting to like offer it in different towns and or having organizations closer to those towns. But still, in these ones that I run right now in Long Hill and Baskin Ridge, anyone can join.
Yeah, and is it it's free, right?
Yes, or, it's free. It's the
yeah, and do
no
you meet
registration
in,
fees?
USA Radio News.
We receive the body of our brother George for burial. Let us pray with confidence to God, the giver of life, that he will raise him to perfection in the company of saints.
The prayer as George H.W. Bush arrives at the Washington National Cathedral. The funeral began with presidential historian and author John Meacham memorializing our 41st president.
George Herbert Walker Bush was America's last great soldier statesman, a 20th century founding father. He governed with virtues that most closely resemble those of Washington and of Adams, of T.R. and of F.D.R., of Truman and of Eisenhower, of men who believed in causes larger than themselves.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health. Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll and I am severely late, as usual. However, I will say I do have some things going on in my life which contribute to some of this. I know that some of you have heard me in the past. I actually dedicated one of my shows to my Aunt Mary, and she passed away last week. And will be really sadly and sorely missed. In addition, her husband, my Uncle Walter, he is currently now in the hospital and not expected to survive much longer. The two of them had one of those relationships where they were inseparable. And as best described, Aunt Mary and Uncle Walt were what we would consider one word in our family. Were such wonderful examples of what a loving relationship was like. I come from lots of family dysfunction. I find it interesting that my father and his siblings, that each one of us, each group of cousins from my father and his siblings, the eldest is either a social worker, a psychologist, or a counselor. I think that says something about our family. In addition, my cousin's children are either in social work or social work. So again, I think that says a lot about my family. But my Aunt Mary and Uncle Walt, like I said, they were steady. They loved each other deeply. They demonstrated to us what a good, loving, healthy relationship looked like. They were honest. They were not puffed up in any way. They were just good, down-to-earth people. And they loved children. And so as cousins, we have such fond memories of going and being with Aunt Mary and Uncle Walt, and out of everyone, they allowed us to be children and play and be goofy, and we camped in their backyard and did all kinds of things that really were not something that we could do in our own families with our own parents. And they were always interested in us. They would sit down and they would have conversations with us, and they would support us and showed real interest. And so this past couple of weeks have been a trying time for my family, and it's been sad. So, like I had said, several weeks ago, dedicating one of my shows to my Aunt Mary and now my Uncle Walt also, and my family in general. I've talked about grieving in the past, and that grieving is something that we do because we're left behind. I think a lot of times people are not clear on life after death. I'm a Christian. I do believe in life after death. I'm not sure what heaven looks like. I've never been there. But I do believe that I've got family members there, that my father is there. I do believe that human beings are motivated by, and we're alive because of energy. We have energy. The way our brain functions, it's energy impulses pushing neurotransmitters back and forth. And energy is what makes everything work and everything grow and everything function. And lack of energy is when there's nothing. And the universe is just filled with energy. It is an energizing mass of ions and protons and activity, and God is energy for me. And I don't think that when we die, because energy never really disappears, it just takes on another form. You know, we produce energy, and we put that energy into batteries, and those batteries produce light, and the light produces others. And so it just, you know, energy continues to take new forms. And I believe that my Aunt Mary and my Uncle Walt and my grandparents and my dad, and they've taken on a different form of energy. So I don't really know what that looks like. Like I said, I've never been on the other side, but I do believe that they're still with us in some form. It's just that we cannot see them. And for me, they're going to always be part of my life. And I think, and I know, I don't even know if I even introduced myself, because I'm just sort of in this process. So anyway, I did play my little spiel before, my little commercial. So I want to just kind of reiterate. I don't remember. And I'm going to say that is part of a grieving process, that our concentration can be off. I know mine is. So anyway, I am Ruth Altamura Roll. I am a licensed professional counselor. I do have a private practice here in Flemington. And I've been doing counselor's chat for probably over 5 years at this point. And it really is about promoting good mental health, removing the stigma for people to say, you know, I think maybe I've got some issues. I want to go to counseling, and also to provide education, because we really don't, we're really not fully aware. We still look at mental health issues with the stigma attached. Everything from addiction to bipolar to depression, anxiety, all of these things. And it's okay to get help when we need help. There's no, you know, I work with people all the time around shame, and it's really hard to remove the shame of feeling depressed, the shame of anxiety, the shame of panic attacks, the shame of personality disorder, the shame of addiction, the shame, the shame, the shame, the shame. And shame is a very heavy burden to carry. It's very painful because shame equals the statement that says there's something wrong with me. I'm depressed. There's something wrong with me. I'm anxious. There's something wrong with me. And the reality is that there really isn't anything wrong with you. It's that this is part of who you are, and that when we learn to embrace that, so yes, I struggle with depression. I have some post-traumatic stress disorder. I grew up in an alcoholic family. I've got things. And I bring those to the table. And the thing is that the issues in my life are not something that control me anymore. And I think that's one of the keys to gaining good mental health. I recognize I have this issue. I've learned some good coping skills on how to handle it, what to do when it shows itself. That naming it is really important. So to say, right now I'm depressed, or right now I'm grieving, or right now I'm feeling anxious, right now something has been triggered and my post-traumatic stress has just shown its head. What do I do with these things? If I shame myself as a consequence with the what's wrong with me, then what I do is I take those things, I push them away, I push them aside, and they build up. I use a balloon in my office. I blow into it. I don't want to, I shouldn't be depressed. There's something wrong with me. Every time I do that, blowing more air into the balloon's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and those issues get more powerful in my life, and they become all-consuming. I don't learn good coping skills. I don't know how to handle these things. I don't know what to do to deal with them. And I am in pain. Sometimes what ends up happening with, and this is what I know from my own experience in this field, is that oftentimes the pain gets so unbearable that we look for ways of handling it. Alcohol, drugs, other things like that. Those things, really, they do their job. They push down, continue to push down all of those feelings. I don't want to be somebody that's depressed. I rather have that fun life, that high life. And what ends up happening is now I'm addicted. So the thing that first worked for me to help lift my spirits, I say this to people in recovery all the time. You know, you go to the liquor store and it says what? Wine and spirits. We call it spirits. Isn't that an interesting thing? And what it does, yes, it does. It can lift our spirits. It can depress the depression or the anxiety. But that's not the answer. The answer is learning good coping skills. The answer is to be okay with. So I know for myself, I have these losses in my life, and it's affected my concentration. It has affected my appetite. It's affected my sleep a little bit. I think a lot about my Aunt Mary and my Uncle Walt, about the rest of my family that's grieving, the pain that we're all in. And I do say to people in my family, it's okay. Cry if you need to cry. The interesting thing is today we have the funeral of President Bush. So I was listening to some of that, and it's just all of a sudden all of this loss going on, and that is part of life. Sometimes we say, "Why is this happening? Why is this happening?" And I believe that it happens because it is part of life. People said, "Why is there death at all?" Well, my gosh, this world couldn't be able to cope with every living creature that's ever lived and walked the face of the earth. There's no way. There's too many. But you know, what happens is we return to the earth. It doesn't matter if we are plant, animal, human, we return to the earth. And our energy goes where it goes, and our body becomes part of the earth. And that also becomes another tree, grass, something. I mean, we don't disappear. I was watching a show, one of my favorites. It's on Netflix. It's called Last Kingdom. I would recommend it highly. But anyway, that's a little aside. But King Edward the Elder, whatever, he's rallying his army. And he picks up the dirt, a handful of dirt, and he says, this dirt is our ancestors. Our ancestors have made up this earth. And that was really a very powerful statement, because we are always. The other thing, too, that is not only that we are always, we are always in the present. And that is one of the things that I talk about with clients all the time, that the only point of actual living is currently in the present moment. So right now I could see that there's some people watching, which is thank you very much for watching. I appreciate that. And the people that are watching and the people that are listening to me and my watching being, I could see myself, I'm on my, the equipment here still isn't working for streaming live on the video. So I'm doing the radio show. But anyway, this is the present. This is when I'm alive. This is it right here. My past, the things that have happened in the past, it's past. There's nothing, I cannot do anything about it. I can't change it, can't fix it. It's the past. And then the future. Now, the future has a lot of things that I can project into. And I have some good guesses about the future, but I cannot really predict it 100% because I can't. But the only place that I am actually living is here in the present moment. It's a good place to learn how to practice mindfulness, which in the past number of days I have been practicing more so, because I've needed to stay focused. And so mindfulness is using my senses. Right now, I'm sitting here in this room by myself. I know you guys can't see it. I got a video screen, and it says the time and the Hunter Chamber Radio logo, and I got little things bouncing up and down, and that's what's going on. And I could hear myself through these, whatever you call these things, ear whatevers, and though I know I can talking through the thing, and that's my life right now. That's in the present. I could feel the air. I could taste. I could smell. I can see. I can hear. That's what's going on right now. And when we practice mindfulness, when we practice being in the moment, it actually is rather meditative, and it lets all the other stuff kind of fall to the wayside. A lot of times my clients are struggling with anxiety and what if this and what if that and all those what ifs. And my suggestion to them is to change what if to what is. What is in the present moment? What am I experiencing? And who am I experiencing? And what are the choices that I'm making? how am I handling myself? What am I doing with my emotions? Am I allowing my emotions to control me, or am I recognizing them, naming them, and making choices to control my emotions? And my emotions are very important. They help me in the choices that I make. So do I want to react to my emotions? Run around, oh my God. Or do I want to respond to my emotions? So right now, I'm feeling really sad. I'm feeling a sense of loss. I have some anxiety over finding out about my Uncle Walt. I've got those things going on. But I'm not going to sit and focus on that, because right now what I'm doing is I'm doing this show. I'm doing Counselor's Chat. So I actually do need to take, because I started late, I do have commercials to play, but I think I'm going to just kind of play them all at the end. I think I'm going to do that. The past several weeks, I have also listed some shows. And I'm not sure if I just lost. No. Anyway, I've listed some shows. I've wanted to talk about boundaries. I wanted to talk about limits. And then last week, last Wednesday is when I got the call about my Aunt Mary. So I didn't do my show. But I do want to just touch base a little bit about limits and boundaries and how important they are in our life and how they contribute to health, good mental health, healthy relationships. A limit is how much I can tolerate, how much I can take. And I use this example with clients all the time. A limit. My limit's 3 slices of pizza. When I've had 3 slices, I've had my limit. I really, 4 slices is going over my limit, and it makes me feel uncomfortable and I don't feel well. Oftentimes, when we go over our limit, we feel uncomfortable and we don't feel well. I've worked too long. I'm feeling uncomfortable and I don't feel well. I've stayed up longer than I should. I'm not getting enough sleep. I feel uncomfortable. Okay, I may not feel well. Sometimes I may feel exposed, so I've overstepped my limits. Now boundaries are how close I let people come to me. So I'm going to refer to the pizza. You and I, we've gone out, we've had pizza, I've had 3 slices. You say, no, come on, have a fourth. Now you're pushing on my boundary. I'm saying, no, 3's my limit. You say, no, have 4. Now, when we have a property, okay, we have our fence, let's say, or a property line. My limit is how far I go to the inside of my fence. That's my limit of my property. But my neighbor, okay, the boundary is also the fence. That's the boundary. If he comes over and decides to, without even asking me permission, to plant a garden, vegetable garden in my backyard, he's crossed my boundary. Okay, so I have the right to say, wait a minute, this is not appropriate. You've crossed my boundary. All relationships have healthy limits and healthy boundaries. So that knowing what your limit is going to help you with setting your boundaries. Now, one of the things that's really important is oftentimes people are very fluid in their boundaries and limits. So they don't have a real good sense. Partially it's because they're not in tune with their emotions. So they're not listening to when they've had enough. They allow people to push them around. They have a hard time saying no. Now this is oftentimes people who are codependent. Can't say no. Even though I don't want to do it, I can't say no. I don't want to say no. I don't know how to say no. I'm afraid that I'm going to get other people upset if I say no. So I'm always willing to cross and limit cross my boundaries, cross my limits, ignore them, ignore my limits, so that I keep going and going and doing and doing and helping others and pleasing others to the point where I get exhausted and sick and depressed. And so learning how to say no is one thing. Also learning to develop a good sense of being assertive. Now, oftentimes people who are very passive, okay, they don't have a good sense of boundaries because they're passive. They can't say I've had enough or no, that doesn't work for me. So they're passive. Sometimes they reach a point where they've been passive for so long, they explode. There's that balloon. They all of a sudden they become aggressive because I can't stand it anymore. Don't you know? No, I didn't know. You never said. So one of the things about having good boundaries and good limits is learning also how to be assertive. And assertive means I'm going to say what I need to say using an I statement. It's based on my judgment, my feelings, my values, my morals. I'm going to say no right now. That's being assertive. Right now, you know, you've asked me to do something. I don't feel comfortable with it. I'm going to say no. No, you can't just come and plant a garden in my backyard without my permission. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I want you to. Or no, I really don't want another piece of pizza. Thank you very much. And the answer is no. Or, you know what, I've got so much on my plate right now. I think, no, I don't think that I'm going to participate in that. Or, no, I'm not going to go to the party. I'm really tired and I need to take care of myself. So those things are really important. Being assertive. Sometimes what happens is we can also end up becoming what is known as passive aggressive. So passive aggressive is, I don't say anything and, but I slash your tires. That's the aggressive. So you don't even know who did this thing to you, but because I don't have the ability to say no, because I'm feeling used, I'm feeling violated, I'm feeling all kinds of feelings of anxiety, and I decide I'm going to get back at you because, you know, you just are not honoring me in any way. But see, I'm not verbalizing my needs, and that's the thing that's really important. I need to verbalize what I want, what I need, what my limits are, what my boundaries are, that allows me to have a good, healthy relationship. I had a dog once. Her name was Sheba. She was such a sweet little thing, and I took her to dog school, help her and me to train her. And one of the things that I learned, not just about training her, but one of the things the teacher said is a well-trained dog is a happy dog. So if I know my boundaries and limits and I voice them in a way that is assertive, not aggressive, I'm not okay with having four slices of pizza. Thank you very much for, you know, offering that to me. But the answer is no. There's nothing aggressive in that. I'm just being assertive. What that does is it allows the other person to also respect me because I'm respecting myself. So often when we have that shame, okay, I don't have a voice. There's something wrong with me. I can't speak up. I'm very passive because I'm very shame-based. There's something wrong with me. I don't have the right to ask for what I want and need. I don't have the right to stand up for myself and say no when I mean no. I don't have the right to do those things. And the consequence then is being very passive and then also, what's wrong with me that I can't stand up for myself? What's wrong with me that I'm always going that extra mile to the point where I exhaust myself? I hurt myself. That it's actually better to have some of those good boundaries and those good limits, that good self-care. And people oftentimes get confused thinking self-care is selfish. But the reality is good self-care allows me to be stronger and more present for when other people really need my help. So that taking care of myself allows me to better take care of others. It allows me to take care of others without resentment because I'm taking care of myself. If I expect people to be taking care of me, I don't have good boundaries. I don't have good limits. I'm willing to go and go and go, and then I want you to pick up the pieces when I fall apart. As a responsible, healthy adult, our job, okay, is to take care of ourselves so that when we are in the midst of crisis, because sometimes our lives have that, you know, like I said, my family has crisis, you know. So, yeah, I was late. I was 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late almost. And, you know, it's okay. I've got things going on in my life. And I could, and I have, because it was a language that I learned. I learned a language of shame. I could say, what's wrong with me that I'm late? Why can't I get it together? I could do all those things. Well, heck, you know what? I just had an aunt die. I've got an uncle that's on his deathbed. There's a lot going. It's the holiday season. I'm trying to get ready for. I had a bathroom that they just finally got up and working. A lot of things going on in my life. And you know what? If I'm 15 minutes late, it's okay. I don't have to be perfect. And you don't have to be perfect. The thing is that know your limits. Know when you've had enough. Know when you need to pull back and do a little self-care. Nurture yourself. Take care of yourself. Feed yourself. Feed your soul. So, I think I'm probably going to wind it up. Like I said, I didn't stop to play commercials, and I want to play them here at the end of my show because the sponsors have paid for time and they have their right to do that. So I'm recognizing my limit. I'm call it saying this is my limit in terms of how much I'm going to share with you today. I will be back next week. I don't think the Facebook live stream is going to be up until probably January. So I am learning how to do this thing on the phone, and I believe that the radio show is being broadcast via radio on 100andchamberradio.com. So I think that's happening also. I want to thank everyone who is watching and listening today. And it is a sad day. And it's also a day to honor President Bush and just some of the things that I've been listening to and remembering about him. We lost a great man, and it's sad. And yet he's offered so much, and his legacy is going to live on for a long time. So I just want to thank everyone again, and I wish you a good week, and I will be back next week with Counselor's Chat.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News.
Dad could relate to people from all walks of life. He was an empathetic man. He valued character over pedigree. And he was no cynic. He looked for the good in each person, and he usually found it.
President George